We haven't entirely nailed down what element it is yet, but I'll tell you this, it's a lively one.
Let's give your parents a call right now.
Hello, welcome to episode number 18 of Gaming with the Moms. My name is Nicole Tanner. I am managing editor at pixelkin.org and a mom of a three-year-old. And I say that with my teeth clenched.
So how's this week been?
Not good. Last week was amazing. It was so great. This week, no, not so much.
That's how it goes with three-year-olds.
Have tables.
Well, my husband's out of town, and that usually factors into it.
Definitely.
Because she knows I'm flying solo and I don't get a
You're
break.
Weak. So,
yeah. Although yesterday, she's being terrible, just terrible. I think I posted on Facebook she was being a monster. I didn't tell her she was being a monster, but she was being a monster.
I was secretly applauding for you for not calling your daughter a monster.
Yeah. So I sent her to her room at about 2 o'clock in the afternoon and she fell asleep and took a nap.
Nice.
Yes.
Score.
Yes.
But yeah, back to the podcast. I'm joined by fellow mom Linda Brenneman.
I remember what it was like to have a three-year-old. And probably a worse three-year-old than your three-year-old.
Well,
anyway.
I don't know what to say to that. Sometimes when she's lying on the floor kicking and screaming, I'm just like, how could it get any worse than this?
Oh,
Well, I guess she doesn't bite, I suppose. It could be worse in that way. And then apparently globetrotting Simone de Rochefort.
Okay, New Orleans is hardly across the globe, Nicole.
Sorry, but Korea in 3 days. Totally is.
It's me. You want me to throw a tantrum to just remind you of home?
Oh, God. And our guest today is Meredith Bland, who does a wonderful column for us called Techless Mom. It is hilarious. You should read it. Meredith, thanks so much for being with us.
I'm so excited to be here.
Yay.
It's so nice to talk to you guys.
We talk about you on the podcast all the time. So yeah. I'm glad you're finally.
Yay. Yeah. It's always like referring. Oh, Meredith wrote this article where she says, you know, blah, blah, blah.
Many hilarious things.
Yes. Many hilarious things.
And by the way, I follow her on Facebook, so I get the little links to your other writing, is on Pile of Babies.
Pile of Babies is the blog page, yeah.
Best name for a blog ever.
My husband came up
totally.
With it.
Nice. Oh, you've given credit where credit's due. That's very nice. Yeah.
And then you have regular columns at some other places, too.
I'm just starting a weekly column for The Football Girl now that it's football
season.
And then I write regularly for The Stir and She Knows and Parent
Great.
Map and places like that.
Yeah.
Cool.
Nice.
Very, very cool. All right. So off the topic of tantruming three-year-olds and into some news, the International wrapped up this weekend. Linda, tell us all about it.
It did. I was at the International. I went for a couple of days in there. I was there for the final night, although I didn't make it all the way to the grand final finale. But the Evil Geniuses won. They were the American team. The crowd was shouting, USA.
Wow. It's like the Olympics.
I'm glad we won on home soil.
Yeah, people were pretty excited. The Evil Geniuses were not that excited, honestly.
Why?
I saw that picture that you posted. They were like,
I know. They were tired. And when you know how on most sports events, they'll bring the winners up and they'll be so excited and pumped. And
what are you going to do now you won?
Now, yeah, so they
Disneyland!
Disneyland!
Didn't they win like $18 million or something?
That
like
was
that?
The total prize pool, but the winners won 6.6.
Oh, well, if it's only 6.6.
Yeah.
I can see why they weren't so excited.
What do you even do with $6.6 million?
Yeah, a million or so a person.
Yeah.
Hey, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
You can buy a few Google shares. Like,
It's so funny. You should go watch the live stream recording because they go up there and they said, what are you going to do now? You won all this. And they're like, we are never going to play Dota again. We want to get away from these monitors and go outside.
Yeah. Wow. Well, good
great.
For them.
Yeah. I mean, they were being honest, but I don't know. A little PR, a little excitement might have been
better. How long was the match that they played?
The last match, I think, was about the normal time, which is about 40 minutes. But they had In those four matches, those final four matches, there was one that was more than an hour, I believe.
Wow. Yeah.
So that's a really long stretch, and four matches, and they have to concentrate so hard. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think of it as exponential chess, kind of like, mm-hmm. you know, the concentration, the speed, the precision that's required, knowing, you know, over 100 characters and mm-hmm. what their capabilities are and all the strategy. And
yeah.
I mean, some of these guys don't even blink, I think.
Yeah. Mm.
So it is hard on them.
They're just going to go outside and stare directly into the sun.
Yes. The guy said he wanted to get rid of his monitor tan. So, yeah.
Is that like a reverse tan?
Yeah, pasty monitor tan.
That's
yeah.
hilarious. Oh,
well, but it was really fun to be yeah. there in the Key Arena. The fans are so excited. They're just, you know, really into it. So it was really fun to be in that atmosphere.
Yeah, it's awesome. Esports taking over. We talked about that a few episodes ago, just about how popular it's getting.
Yeah.
So, other news. Portable steam machine.
Woo! So, this is kind of interesting. When the steam machines come out, they're all going to be manufactured by third-party developers. So Valve isn't actually making its own steam machines. And the first handheld one just went up – or it has been announced. It has a sale date now. It's called the Smack Zero. That's S-M-A-C-H. It might be Smash. I'm not actually sure.
I was reading it as Smock.
Smock.
Smack Zero.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, totally.
Meredith, do you have any idea what she's talking about?
Only because my husband told me what it was last night.
Yeah.
I was like, what's a steam
held
machine?
He held
I was thinking
on
it's like
homework?
A humidifier, like, you yeah, know, one yeah. of those, like a steam machine.
I thought it was a new kind of iron or something.
And then he's all like, right. Let me tell you about the steam machines.
So do you want me to, like, back up to
back
zero
yes.
here?
What is steam? Most people, like... probably know what it is, but the way you're explaining it, you're just jumping right in. Steam machine, steam. And I'm like, what?
Steam is a platform where you can buy video games to download to your computer. It is owned by Valve, which is a local Seattle company. They actually made Portal, and they're very cool. So they're basically developing their own operating system that will be – it's a Linux-based operating system that will be on – machines called Steam machines, which will basically be their own kind of computer. But Steam machines will also be able to stream games that you have on Steam from your PC to the Steam machine. And there's also a thing called a Steam Link, so you can stream them from the Steam machine to your television and play games on your television. And I think the big difference there is that when you play a game on the Steam machine, you're using a controller, a third-party controller instead of, you know, mouse and keyboard like you would on the computer. The handheld one, it looks actually a lot like the PS Vita.
Oh, no, it's doomed.
Oh, come on. That has nothing to do with the Vita's lack of success.
I'm so out of touch. I was like, so it's like a Game Boy, right?
Yeah, actually,
it is,
you know,
sort of, yes.
It used to be called the Steam Boy.
There
Steam
we
Boy
go.
Was the original name.
I'm
going to
tell
the...
him I was right.
So, yeah, it'll be $299. You can order it in November, but it will not be out till 2016, probably late 2016. So I would recommend not
waiting.
Ordering one.
Yeah. I love those announcements.
Yeah.
In 2 months, you can order it, and then we will send it to you sometime.
Yeah, basically. It's funny because the Steam OS is in beta right now, and the actual Steam machines, the dedicated ones, will be shipping, I think, in November, so around the time that this goes on pre-order. But again, this won't be out for a long time. And also, I literally could not find any information on Smock, the developers, and neither can anyone else who wrote stories about this yet. Like, we're waiting for kind of comments from them, but the website for this console, it's basically just their logo, and then you can sign up to learn more about it, and they announced where their booth was at Gamescom. So, like, they were at Gamescom. It's a real company that exists. There are pictures of the device, but not a lot of information on the company yet, except that Smock is also a company, not the same company, but a company with the same name makes, like, ice cream machines. This is what I learned today.
Yeah.
So,
wait a second. Ice cream. This isn't the company I want.
Yeah, I was looking it up. I was like, oh, cool. I found their LinkedIn page. Why are they advertising ice cream? This is perfect. This is everything I wanted from a console. Yeah. So I'm interested to see. And I don't think it's going to be the only handheld Steam device that we're going to see, just because, you know, Valve isn't making anything on its own. It's all up to other people who want to make devices that work with, that run with this OS. So I assume we will be seeing more. This is just the first.
Yeah.
So
Valve's like, here, people, you fail for us.
Yeah. And Alienware and CyberPower are making their own Steam machines, not handheld, but, you know, box type things. You know, in my eloquent way, that's what I call them. So, you know, big companies are producing these things, but there's also Smuck.
So, Smuck.
Query.
You look so sad, Linda.
I'm not. My question is, what games are you looking forward to playing on the Steam machine?
Oh, that's a good question. You know, I want to know more about it first. The interesting thing is that the games that you can buy for the Steam machine, they have to be Linux compatible because the OS is Linux based. So, which does leave a pretty big selection of games on Steam. You can search for games that are compatible with Linux, and it's not a small list. The fact that you can stream games from your PC, though, I think broadens it up a bit. I'm not sure whether the handheld one will be able to stream games or not, but it does have, you know, Wi-Fi, and if you get the Pro model, it has 4G, so it's a possibility. I would just freaking play all my Steam games with a controller because
exactly.
I hate using mouse and keyboard. I hate it.
Plug a
That's
controller.
What I was wondering.
I would if my computer were awful. Nicole, my computer is a delicate ecosystem. It can't handle that kind of stress.
Tiffany can't put up with it.
Tiffany, yeah. Well, Tiffany
Simone
has had her
names
problems.
All of her electronic devices and vehicles, apparently.
Of course, Excellent. And my stuffed animals.
Of course.
And the little dog figures that you talked about last week where you played with the dialogue in your
that's
head.
That's a lot of names.
Did they have – I don't think they had names. Maybe they did.
Maybe you forgot their names.
That's so sad.
You're
going to
have some mad little dog things.
They'll haunt me in the afterlife. That's awful.
Okay. Boy, we're having a good time today.
Yeah.
I'm just going to ruin that with
lots
news
of laughs.
About the lawsuit.
I love to laugh, Nicole. Yeah.
So this is a pretty lawsuits are always twisted and difficult to understand. So Oculus is a company that makes the Oculus Rift, which is a virtual reality headset, which is coming out next year. I'm sure you have heard of it. It has been talked about everywhere, even non-tech outlets will talk about this thing. So
It was on Time magazine cover like a week ago or so.
Oh.
And it's become a big internet meme.
Yeah, yeah.
That
I know that.
That was Palmer Luckey.
The cover was terrible.
That was a fantastic cover.
Oh, my God. My husband showed it to me, and I'm like.
It was fun to play with.
Oh, yeah, I know. He showed me the cover, and I'm like, is that the real cover?
Is he scared? Is he happy?
He's like, yes, that is the real cover.
Yeah.
Like the fact that you had to ask that lets you know how bad it is.
I actually did a story about the meme because the meme is hilarious.
Yeah.
And, you guys got to look it up on Pixelkin and look up the compilation on Polygon that has the best of. Cause
yeah.
It's
I feel
really
so
funny.
Bad for Palmer Luckey.
I don't know. After reading some of the stuff he was trying to argue in this lawsuit.
Oh, boy.
Okay, so here's the deal. So everybody knows what Oculus is. Oculus is owned by Facebook. Facebook picked them up in 2014, I think it was, to the tune of $2 billion, which is not a small sum of money.
No, it's just pocket change. I mean, $6.6 million is like a penny to me. So.
Yeah, exactly. So ZeniMax, which is actually a company, the name is not very well known, but they are the owners of Bethesda and id Software, which has the creators of the iconic Doom.
Mm-hmm.
They're the ones who are suing Oculus because they believe that trade secrets were used in the development of the Rift. So what happened is John Carmack, who is co-creator of Doom, he's like a huge game industry guy, left id / ZeniMax and went to work for Oculus. And so that boosted Oculus's popularity like a gazillion times because like, oh my God, this Doom guy is working on this. Mm. It must be cool. And then apparently a bunch of other employees followed suit.
Oh.
And according to ZeniMax, they shared things that they learned at ZeniMax to help them make the Oculus Rift.
Interesting.
So Palmer Luckey is one of those people. And one of the one of his defenses was like that he wasn't compensated for keeping things secret, which is like, I believe that's your salary. Like, that's your compensation for keeping your company's things secret. Like,
so were they under NDA or not?
Yes.
Okay,
they were. He was also arguing his NDA wasn't valid because something was slightly vague somewhere, which, you know, I know that that happens all the time. People try to throw out NDAs because the language isn't right. That happens all the time. Arbitration agreements, all that kind of stuff. So so that I'm not surprised at. But the fact that he was saying that he needed compensation to keep things secret just really struck
me. Isn't that called blackmail?
I know. Yes.
Well, I'm hoping it was out of context. I have a personal opinion about all this.
Because you love that meme so much.
No. Honestly, this is kind of industry-wide. And I've been in, like, the software industry for a long time. My ex-husband started a couple of very successful companies that were sold. And people move around in the industry a lot. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes I think these non-disclosure agreements are – honestly, really unfair, because if you want to switch jobs and you want to take the skills and experience that you have with you to this next job, what are you supposed to do? Forget everything that you ever did before?
Yeah.
I mean, to me, it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
Yeah, this whole trade secret thing, I think it's really difficult to define because, like, you know, like you said, the skills, like, I learned how to code in C++ at a company as is that a trade secret if I go code in C++? Or if you're just like repeating the same type of thing you would have that you did, you know, but you were just repeating it. But the repeating is just something you would have done anyway.
Yeah. And, and honestly, I think if you're talking about a person's creativity and livelihood, it's really hard to say, you know, you can't ever use something that you learned or invented on a previous job. I don't really get all the legal ins and outs, but just kind of ethically and morally and personally, that's my feeling about it.
Some of the ones I have had to sign make you like list everything that you have created yourself, like on a little list. You do that so that the company can't like backwards claim ownership on it. Some of these are worded really, really bad.
Yeah.
Like, everything you have ever created now belongs to the company kind of thing. So.
Yeah. And I don't know. I think I basically crossed all that stuff out of all our employment agreements.
Oh, nice.
Like, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
If you can find a
you haven't been exposed
secret
to a real employee agreement.
If you can find a trade secret at Pixelkin that's going to make you a lot of money, have at it.
I'll probably try to give it to you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we're starting our own Dota 2 team, right?
Yeah,
so we can.
Yeah,
that's how we're going to make money.
We got to make all kinds of money on that.
Yeah. So lawsuits, they go on forever. This one that we're talking about is because a judge just threw out all of the claims of everybody and says this can move forward. Well, throughout all of Facebook's and Oculus's and those claims.
So maybe they can sort it all out now.
Do you think ZeniMax has a case there? I mean, since
I don't know. It depends. I didn't read through the whole court documents because I can't read those things. I mean, physically, I can read them. I can't comprehend them.
Your eyes just scan and scan.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think anybody can actually read those things unless you're a lawyer. So it's hard to say.
Yeah.
Like we were just talking about how to prove trade secrets and the people, you know. So I don't know. We'll see. The next step for the case is to go into discovery, which is another fun legal term, which means it's just a pretrial procedure where they see if there's enough evidence. So there's the answer to your question.
Okay.
In discovery, they will determine if there's enough evidence to bring it to trial.
Okay. Cool.
I am learning so much at this job.
I am so impressed with you.
All right. So that's enough.
You can teach an old dog new tricks.
Oh, Simone.
Oh, my gosh.
All right.
How old are you, Simone?
Oh, 24.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to get my butt whooped.
Yeah, you don't have a...
You're in a room with three old dogs.
Exactly. Oh. I know. There's nobody young here for you.
Down,
two.
Girl.
All right, so enough court stuff. Halo 5 is going to be rated T.
Yay!
It's huge.
Yeah.
It would be it the is. Only Halo game in the entire main series, not the spinoffs, but main series, mm-hmm. to not receive an M rating.
So I've always been so confused about why the Halo games are rated M at all, since they haven't, I mean, compared to other games that are rated M, they've seemed pretty tame. And then Polygon wrote about this, and they said that in this game, in the descriptors that the ESRB put out, gore is not included. The other games are rated M, blood and gore. And this one is just, you know, what was the word? Occasional blood splatter. So
yeah.
Apparently if you just have occasional blood, it's fine.
Yeah. But. So here's my theory on this. So when the first Halo came out way back for the original Xbox, shooters weren't really a thing. And I think the ESRB said, oh, guns shooting other people, bad M. That's what I think happened.
Yeah.
And now that genre has evolved so much, you got things like Destiny, which got a T. So, And the other the gore thing, I think I don't know anything about Halo 5 or its plot, even though my husband works at 343. Full disclosure, I don't know anything about the plot. But the gore thing just makes me think that maybe you're not fighting the Flood in the fifth one. The Flood was this virus that would infect alien races and get all disgusting, and when you shoot them, they would explode in all kinds of nasty ways.
Yeah, I think it is the amount of blood splatter, too. Yeah. Like, if the creature's exploding and there's a ton of constantly blood splatter everywhere, then
well, there was some, in one of the articles that was linked to it, there was a descriptor about why the other ones were rated M, and it's things like, once one of the characters is dead, you can continue to shoot it.
Yeah.
So I guess
interesting.
That's part of it.
I just wonder why, I mean, in the interim years, like 2015 isn't the first year that we've, you know, normalized shooter games. They've been normalized for a long time. So I'm wondering why it is that the other Halo games before this, not just the early ones, were still rated M.
The standards are changing.
Yeah.
I think they're being pushed, too.
Yeah.
Because, like, you know, we've talked about before, like, Star Wars Battlefront looks like it's pushing that edge very, very. And, like, that's going to end up with a T rating. They're going to change it if they have to. But, like, it's just like with PG-13 in movies. Like,
the line just
keeps getting pushed and pushed and pushed a little further.
Yeah. But, I mean, if you watch the trailer, there's a constant kind of yelling guy in the background saying, get the double kill, get the triple, you know, and there's shooting and explosions the whole time. Yeah. But, yeah, it's not any different from the movies, I don't think.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. And I think the important thing to do is a lot of people sit down with their kids, especially the 13, 14, 15-year-old kids, and just ask a lot of questions about the violence. And I think the trick to that is to ask that with curiosity, like, why are you shooting that alien? Is shooting the alien different from shooting the human?
And keeping the correct tone.
Keeping the correct tone. And you know what I found when I've done that is that those kids really do think about it. They think about what the differences are in the different levels of violence, and they'll explain it to you. And it's a good conversation to have. It'll reassure you about how your kids think about their media too, I think.
Yeah. So if you've felt guilty for letting your kids play Halo because it's one of those bad M games, you feel guilty anymore.
That's a T.
That's a good thing.
So back to more family-friendly fare. Extra Credits, which is a it's a curation on Steam.
Well, Extra Credits is a YouTube series that talks about educational games.
Got it.
But now they have a Steam curation page. So basically, anyone can make a Steam curation page where it just you recommend games and why you like them. We have one, coincidentally. But Extra Credits has one called Extra Credits EDU, I believe. And so they're just recommending educational games. And they also talk about how teachers can use them in the classroom, which is, I think, the most important part. Because, you know, as many cool games as there are out there, it's hard to find ones that are really good for classroom use. And then once you have found those games, I think it's hard to, you know, adapt them to your classroom and figure out what you want to do with them. So this is making that easier for teachers everywhere.
I also would say it's hard to find a good educational game,
period.
Like, outside of the classroom, if you want to use it, like, either it's too much game or it's too educational.
Yeah.
It's a hard balance to strike. And I got this press release from somebody this week. I'm not going to say the name of the game. Well, one, because I don't remember it. But two, because I don't want to call them out. But, like, you know how there was the whole gamification, you know, we're going to gamification HR and, like, all this kind of stuff. So this press release said that this new kind of movement of games where they were learnificationing the games.
Oh, God.
I'm like, really? Why?
Just get away from my English language.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I'm like, why are you looping back the circle? This is unnecessary.
It's the circle of life. So when we started this podcast, did we podcastify pixelkin.org?
Yes, we did.
Oh, man.
We're podcastulated now.
And then when you make the post, you're website-ifying the podcast. Or maybe you're blogifying it. I don't know. I don't know. You know, I don't make the rules.
Oh, okay. Let's move on from that. So as noted before, Meredith is with us today, and she writes a great column for us called Techless Mom, in which she describes her foray into games because her kids love them, and with sometimes very humorous outcomes.
Yeah, you'll notice I didn't have a whole lot to say during the sections because I don't know anything.
Yeah. We're using Meredith as an example of she can give tips on what she did if you're a parent and you don't play games, but your kids play games and you kind of want to enter that world and find out what's
Take
going
the plunge.
On. Yeah. So one of the first things you wrote about for us was Skylanders. Mm-hmm. So do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. Well, you know, I didn't grow up being the gamer in my family. My twin sister actually was the one who could, like, finish Legends of Zelda and all that kind of stuff. Like, I tried to do Duck Hunt. That was about all I could do. It wasn't something that was a big part of my life. My husband was very involved in it.
Yeah.
So it kind of naturally came into my kids' lives. And they are magnificent. they're seven. I have seven-year-old twins. Getting into Skylanders with them was, you know, they it was joining their interests. They were really into the characters and the story, and I wanted to show them that you know, there's so many lessons that we can teach them as a mother who doesn't know anything about games, getting involved with kids who know a lot about games. Yeah. It shows them that you're not afraid to try something new. Mm-hmm. It shows them that it shows them very well what it's like to lose gracefully. how you deal with not getting something right and working on something and how someone handles that. And it shows them that I care about what they enjoy doing. And so it's been awesome for me and my kids. Of course, they don't let me play with them very much anymore because I just kind of jam up the whole works.
Yeah, that's okay. That's why we assign you games to
play
with.
That's exactly right.
So Skylanders. Which Skylanders do your kids have?
Swap Force.
Swap Force.
I think yes.
And how many figurines do they have?
I believe we have maybe eight.
Oh, that
sounds
about
nice. No.
They said they had a bigger collection than me.
My kids are upstairs right now playing Skylanders
They were
Courtney.
So excited when I told them we had Skylanders. So excited.
Yeah.
That's funny that you mentioned that because when we had Curtis, who is a dad in here the other week, and I was talking to his kid about playing with him and or about playing with parents in general, and the kids were like, yeah, I don't really always want to play with my parent because it's hard to teach them.
Yes.
And I'm like, yes, kids. Yes.
Teaching is hard.
Yeah, but at the same time, they did want to like be able to talk about it with their parents, and they did want to like show them what they were doing. And they did enjoy teaching them. It just wasn't something like they didn't want it to always be sit down with the parents and play time.
And it's great for them to feel like they know more than their parent
exactly.
in something. They have more skill than their parent in something. It's very empowering for kids to be like, this is my world, and I know how to handle this, and you don't, and I can try. And it helps them try and teach people how to do other things and be empathetic to someone who is struggling.
Yes,
absolutely. That's one thing I was really impressed when I was talking to them is that they were trying to figure out how to teach better, and they were talking about like, okay, this didn't work. She didn't understand this. Like, I don't really know how to teach my mom how to play Minecraft. It was Minecraft that they were playing, which is, of course, a lot more complicated than Skylanders. Oh, you probably know because your kids are really into Minecraft right now.
Well, it was funny. The last game that they showed me was Plants vs. Zombies.
Yeah.
And my poor son was sitting there going, you just need to look at it and shoot, Mom. You just need to look at it and shoot. And I was like, I'm looking, and I don't know how much more looking at it and shooting at it I can. I don't know what. Oh God, the poor guy. He was so frustrated. He's like, I don't understand why you can't just. I'm like, I don't know either. It didn't make any sense.
Oh, yes. Gosh, oh,
that
no.
was a fun one.
Yeah,
I've had experiences like that with my kids. They're like, look there, look at that thing, and I'm like, what thing? I can't tell what you're talking about.
Follow the arrow, but where's, I don't know. I can't turn. Oh, it's terrible.
You mean that square thing there is meaning something?
Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
Yeah, it's.
Anna is nuts. I mean, not about games, but she, like, her eyesight is, like, unbelievable. Because, like, we'll be in
her room, like a hawk.
And she'll be like, look at that spider right there. And I'm like, what? Where? I don't see a spider. And Isaac would be worth it. I don't see a spider either. And finally, I get right up next to the window and here it was outside, like on the corner of the house, like a teeny tiny little spider.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, wow.
So screens aren't rotting her vision, I
guess. No, they are not. Yeah. So just amazing there.
Oh, that's so funny.
So, one of the things that you talked about that you had trouble with in Plants vs. Zombies, I'm going to totally embarrass you there, was the double stick, yes. Using one stick to look around and the other to move.
It was terrible. Well, at least with Skylanders, it's more straightforward. You know, you press this button and you jump, and you press this and you move forward. Mm-hmm. With this one, the perspective button that, you know, you give it the slight – we have a PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
And so you give it the slightest little nudge, and all of a sudden you're looking up. And then you're trying to run, but you're looking up at the sky. And then you're trying to get the thing go down, and then you're looking at your feet. You know, it's so sensitive, and I couldn't get together this button makes me move, but this button turns my head.
Right.
Like, I'm more used to, like, turning in my vast video game experience, more used to turning as a whole rather than spinning my head around. So I found that very confusing.
You know, that's one way, I think, in which PC gaming might be a bit easier. I know I went from PC to console, and that was a really hard thing for me because in a PC game, you would turn your head with the mouse, and I think that's very natural because you're using your whole hand and you can just gesture wildly, and then you're turning your body with the arrow key, so it's a little more restrained and subtle. Mm-hmm. And then with the thumbsticks, it's a whole new ball game.
Yes. Yeah.
But I did hard training on that in Mass Effect. My roommates sat me down and they forced me to play Mass Effect. And that was literally a trial by fire because the first game in that series is somewhat challenging.
It is. You just have to have the right strategy.
Yeah.
Like when I started playing it, like I wasn't super good at like shooting type games. Like I'd be like the run in and shoot like.
That's me.
Yes. And then like Isaac was watching me and he's like, why don't you take cover? I'm like, oh.
You mean don't kill everyone.
These crates
kill everyone
are
gradually.
These crates are laid out in such a way that it would be easy to duck and then move and then duck and move. Who knew?
Game but design.
That, that means you have to learn another button on that controller, which
that's
has
right.
like
crouching
buttons
and all
on
that
it.
Business.
Yeah. Yeah, it's hard at first. It's like, I think it's like practicing a guitar or something.
Oh,
like
learning how to play the piano or something.
Yeah,
like trying to figure out how to use both hands and this thumb and that thumb and
And that's, I think, the hardest part about teaching someone to play games is, like, how do you make that training, that very hard training, worth it for them? If they're not even having fun while they're starting to play, I think that's a question that remains to be answered. So it does take hard work. It's hard work, as you know.
Yeah,
as I know.
I've basically experienced that lately. Just like we all take for granted as gamers, like we know how this controller works. And so, you know, playing Viva Pinata with Anna and trying to let her use the controller for the first time and just seeing how she wants to grab the sticks like a claw and basically spin them around from the top as opposed to just moving them side to side with your thumbs. And of course, her hand's not big enough to actually do that yet.
Yeah.
But it's been like an education to me to be like, this is her first impression of how she would use these things.
Yeah.
So, oh, that's interesting.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
She's going to have not only incredible eyesight, but incredible small motor coordination.
She flexes and all that.
She can
yeah.
do that, you know.
Growing up
yeah.
gamer.
Yeah, exactly.
She doesn't really have
Super
a choice
gamer.
In that matter. So, Meredith, like, what kind of was the, like, the first game that you tried with them? And what was the impetus for trying that?
The first game I tried with them was probably Skylanders.
Oh, okay.
They weren't really doing a lot of games initially. I think that was the first one we actually bought for them because everything else was like they were doing Farmville, you know,
oh,
on the computer
right.
and like Bubble Witch and things
yeah,
like
yeah.
that, you know, the little things like through Facebook, those
yeah.
little games. And then when we got the Wii, we were trying to keep it healthy. So we were like doing Wii Sports and all that kind of. Oh,
yeah.
So we did do Wii Sports. So we did, you know, the bowling and
the
paddling and all this yeah. stuff. So I did a little bit of that with them, but they didn't care for it very much because it was hard.
Yeah.
But they really wanted more of a story, you know, mm-hmm. is what we figured out. So then when we got into the Skylanders part, that's where they really got into it. And it was really because I saw how much they loved it
mm-hmm.
and I saw how into it and they were so excited about it.
Yeah.
And I really did want – I grew up with a mother who knew everything. I mean, I love you, Mom. You're best. But she knew everything. She did no wrong. She knew all of it. And so I didn't have a lot of experiences with my mother saying, I have no idea what's going on here. And I thought that would be great for my kids to have their mom say, you show me. Mm-hmm. I have no idea what's going on. Let's play together. And so that was why I got into it in the first place, was just to have that experience with them.
Yeah. Yeah, that's super cool. I think that's something that a lot of parents who don't game but have kids that game just kind of miss. Like,
mm-hmm.
oh, they're playing a game. I'll go do something else now.
And yeah, we're like, saying, well, I'm no good at that, so I'm not going to do it.
Yeah, yeah.
Because
yeah.
then, you know, you got to show your kid that you're willing to try. And even
yeah.
if you're not good at something, quote unquote,
yeah.
you're still willing to give it the effort. And you can mm-hmm. still enjoy something even if you're not good at it, which is something
right.
they're going to need when they start doing math.
Yeah.
you know? Because that's going to be brutal.
Get them the Counting Kingdom. It's a great math game.
Okay. yep.
Wow.
Yeah. I think parents miss out when they don't do things like that because it is so fun to watch a kid just blossom
yes.
when they're able to say that they've taught you something.
Yes.
You know, they really get excited about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So what was the other game we had you play? Smash Brothers.
Oh, that's right. I forgot about Smash Brothers.
Did
oh,
you put it out
Lord.
Of your mind?
I think a little bit I did. Yeah.
That's a...
Oh. it's the jumping onto platforms thing.
That's hard for me.
I had a really
me.
Tough yeah. time with that. I don't have good aim,
yeah.
apparently, at all. But they really... I remember now. I'm remembering. Yeah, it's like all of a sudden something is on fire, and my kids are like, "You did a great move!" But I'm a smash. I'm a button smasher.
Yeah, yeah.
like Marshawn Lynch, I'm a button smasher. And so I would just be pressing, and be like, "Yeah, that was a great move I did with the smashing." I have no idea how to do it again. They're like, "You did it again." I'm like, "Wow, that's amazing! I don't know how I did that."
Yeah.
So Smash Brothers was actually the most successful.
I guess,
of the three
I guess
for
so.
You.
It's easier to button smash your way through.
That
Smash
is
Brothers.
True. That is true. It is designed in
is
such
true.
A way that you can just
boom, boom, boom,
go.
Boom, boom.
Lots of fighting games are like that, though.
Yeah.
I remember playing Street Fighter with my husband at one point and, like, just hitting whatever. And then I actually figured out the button presses to do, like, one move. Like,
nice.
One move over and over and over and over. And, like, couldn't make like any progress with, and
nice.
He's like, "That's cheating." I'm like, "How is it cheating?"
Oh, people get mad about that. They
yeah.
do, because we have, and just my husband and I play this. What's the really off, like really violent, fighting thing?
Mortal Kombat.
Thank you.
Yeah.
yeah. So we have Mortal Kombat, and that's something just we don't let the kids play Mortal Kombat. But I did the same thing where I figured out how to do some kind of a – and apparently, because he plays it at work with his coworkers, people hate it when you just repeat the same move over
yes.
and over again. I was like, I don't know. It works.
Yeah,
so,
exactly.
You know,
that's
your funeral,
I
guess.
If you're not supposed to do it, then it shouldn't be possible.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Maybe find a way to defend against it then, I
yeah.
guess.
Yeah.
That's what you should do.
Oh, and
nice.
That's why you're joining the Pixelkin Street Fighter team.
Oh, dear God.
Oh, no. Well, we have a great teacher. I'm sure Michael
yeah.
would be willing to teach us.
Oh, we're actually going to be fighting in the street. Like,
oh, yeah. Like real life Street
Sorry,
fighting.
Did you think I meant a video game?
Oh, no. We're getting the gloves. Yeah. We're going, rolling up our sleeves.
We're taking it to the alley.
There you go.
Out on our street with all the UW medical
I know,
that
I was just going to say. Well, oh, not the patients. I was saying, what are we going to do? Like beat up UW students? Like, seriously?
You know, sometimes no, they
the
need
people
a little
in
bit.
Their walkers.
I'm not going to kid you.
So one of the other things I found really entertaining in your articles was how you choose your characters.
So that is every single time I play a game with my kids, the most important thing and the thing that they talk to me about the most before we get started is the different characters and what the great part of this character is. But this character has this ability and you want to do this and this. They just talk nonstop about it. So when I get into it – and of course I don't hear any of that. It just goes right over my head. But when it comes down to it, I'm all about who do I enjoy the most?
Right.
Who am I going to have fun playing the most? I don't care if they're the most – I'm not going to win. I'm not trying to get any kind of an advantage here, so I might as well have fun, which is why I picked the in Plants vs. Zombies, I picked the Wild West cactus.
Yes.
He was fantastic. Just was all suited up and had his whew.
Yeah.
I loved him.
New Halloween costume idea.
Yeah. Oh, big pickle. And my kids were like, you know, he can't do. I was like, I don't care. I'm going to be running around like a Wild West cactus.
The cactus is kind
and
of
doing
the...
moo moves and saying ooh la la. It's going to be awesome.
In my opinion, the cactus is kind of the lamest class game, but
what is the cactus class?
There are you've played games with classes before.
I haven't played Plants vs. Zombies.
But he can swivel his
I'm
hips.
I'm sorry. What does a cactus do, Nicole? What does the cactus do?
Tell me about the cactus.
Okay, you remember the cactus from regular Plants vs. Zombies?
No, because I've never played it.
Oh my god. Well, forget it then, Simone. You call yourself a gamer? Oh my god.
Oh,
Street Fight.
You've
right
never
now.
Been a cactus.
No, like in the original game, the cactuses were taller than everybody else. So they could shoot their spikes at the zombies and get the high ones that were like floating along on balloons. They could pop the balloons and drop them to the ground. So they're
of course
kind of,
the zombies on balloons.
Well, yeah, of course.
Yeah. So in Garden Warfare, they are the sniper class, basically.
Nice.
So it's not that.
I didn't even know that.
So it's not that they're lame, I guess. It's probably because I think they're hard to master.
Yeah.
So you pick one of those other ones. But you know classes. There's sniper class.
Yes.
There's the tank. There's the healer.
My
that
kids are always the pea
question.
Shooters. Those are the ones they like are the pea shooters.
Yes.
Yeah. And then the corn that like has the machine gun that spits out corn.
Yeah,
they like
yeah.
that one too.
Well, I like snipers, so it sounds like I would enjoy this
Excellent.
Cactus.
Just lay down with your little cactus self on the roof and
yeah.
aim out.
Although the zombie ones are more hilarious. Yeah. The
really?
Engineer, which is
the
absolutely
engineer.
Hilarious. The plumber. His pants hang
crack.
Off his butt. Yeah.
He's got a little butt crack hanging out. It's fantastic.
Yes.
I enjoy that a lot.
And he can ride.
They have coffins. I mean, they have some awesome zombies.
Yeah, he rides around on a jackhammer.
Nice.
Like this engineer guy. Like that's how he gets around. It's if you haven't played that game, you must. You just must.
It is fun.
So hilarious and fun. And I cannot wait for the second one to come out.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to be so
My
cool.
kids keep telling me about it. They're like, you know what I'm really excited about for next summer, Mom?
God, they're
Plants
looking ahead.
Too. I don't know how they found out. I have no idea. But I guess we'll be getting it.
All right.
Yeah. It's so much – I mean, it's so much fun, though. Like, my husband and I, like, we played so much of that game and even, like worked up this thing where, like – He was playing on one machine at home, and I was playing on another machine, so we could play multiplayer together, but not against each other, and not the split screen, you know, crap. So we would get on the same team in like a major multiplayer thing,
and
then, like help each other out and that kind of stuff.
That is awesome. You don't like split screen?
No, not really.
Okay.
My kids don't either. I don't understand what it is, so I don't know why. My kids don't care for it either.
It's where two people are playing the game and the screen gets split. Like one player's player is up here and the other one is down here. So you're looking at the half of the screen that you
Yeah, that sounds confusing.
Belong
it is
on.
Really confusing, yeah.
It's not confusing. I just think
– No, it's not.
I can't see as well as I used to, and I hate having – a constricted view of
you
things.
You know, I wish they didn't do it top and bottom. I love it when they do it side to side because I think it's easier to just see, you know, a taller slice of what's in front of you and then look side to side rather
than
be.
I think Portal did vertical. Yeah,
they do side to side, and I like
but
that
there's
a lot.
But there's a couch co-op mode in Plants vs. Zombies where you're just two plants, like, taking on the waves of zombies, just like in the regular game.
That's cool.
But it's split screen, and it's, I don't know, it doesn't look very good.
All right.
Yeah.
Are they do your kids know about Skylander Superchargers?
They may now.
Don't tell them.
I don't know anything. What are Superchargers?
It's the next Skylanders game, and it's going to incorporate vehicles and racing. So it'll have that basic, like, the mode that you played, the story mode, but then there's also driving portions, which are going to be like Mario Kart, basically.
That's the next one that's coming out?
Yep, September 20th.
And the vehicles are sold separately from the...
There is a vehicle in the starter pack, and you can finish the whole adventure mode of the game with just the vehicle from the starter pack. But, okay, here's my confusion, and Courtney and I talked about this in the issue yesterday, is that there is a driving mode of the game, a racing mode of the game, which is, you know, their Mario Kart-esque thing. And there are land, sea, and sky races. So there are, of course, land, sea, and sky vehicles. Mm-hmm. I think that you will need to buy separate vehicles to be able to compete in all of those races.
Oh, for sure. Definitely.
Yeah.
But do all the vehicles come with a character, or are they separate from the characters?
They haven't been put up on Amazon or Toys R Us yet. Yeah. I believe they will be separate.
Of course they will. I would bet
$1 million that they will be separate.
And there are also going to be expansion packs so that have characters and vehicles in them. But, I mean, there are always individual Skylanders for sale. So, yeah, you're probably right. It's going to be $16 per vehicle, $16 per Skylander.
I was surprised when I went into Toys R Us the last time and I was smart enough not to take Anna with me.
Oh, good.
Buying birthday presents for other kids. But there used to be a wall of Skylanders when you first walked into the store, like crazy. Mm-hmm. But it was gone.
Oh.
It was a wall of minions.
Oh. No.
So I just wonder if the wall of Skylanders will be coming back.
I hope so.
When is the minion game coming out? That's the
Is it like spring?
There is one?
Yeah.
Oh, I was just kidding. Oh, I was just joking.
I mean, of course there is. God, how could there not be? There is minions, everything else.
That is fantastic.
Yeah, it's a mobile game. It's like your little, like, you know, Farmville-esque building.
Okay,
little. I think you're building like a amusement park on an island or something like that.
Okay.
You know, the premise is
because
that.
Because why not?
The premise is that
exactly.
some crazy little minion accidentally sinks the cruise ship that all the rest of the minions are on, and so they all end up on the same island, and because he's the one who sank the ship, obviously he has to do everything to make them happy. So
Phil. Okay. I think that's his name. I'm going to call him Phil.
I think that might actually,
it might actually be it.
Might actually be his name.
I wonder if he's named after Phil Spencer.
I hope not.
Yeah. When I was in New Orleans last weekend, on Bourbon Street in the middle of the night, there was a person in a minion costume, life-size minion, like taking pictures with people on Bourbon Street.
That's awesome.
It was so surreal.
I took the kids to the movie a few weeks ago. It was disappointing.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's one of those things that's not – you're not meant to create an entire – It's one of those money driven, like, now we're going to build the whole world around these things that you don't need to do
I mean, they took, like, I think they were the most popular aspect of Despicable Me, which I've never – I haven't seen any of the movies with the minions
in it.
They're good.
Yeah.
They're really good.
But yeah, everybody – it's like the penguins from Madagascar.
Yes,
like,
exactly.
Focusing on this one
element. Well, and like the squirrel from Ice Age.
Yep.
Like, they do that in little shorts. That's all you need. You don't need the full movie.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
There was a picture somebody was sharing on Facebook. I don't remember where it was, but apparently – there was a really big, like, minion balloon up somewhere, like on a movie theater or something, and it, like, got loose. It was, like, falling on top of cars in the streets.
Oh, my
God. There was, like, one of my mom friends, she was like, and it starts now.
This is how the world ends.
Yes.
Life imitating art. Once
screaming in tears.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah, so Anna hasn't asked about minions, which is good yet.
Now, if you had to choose,
oh, geez.
Frozen or Minions?
Ooh.
I don't know, because honestly, I don't know much about the Minions. I don't know much about them. I would need to learn more.
So it would be a fresh thing, but possibly even worse. You just don't know.
Mm, I just don't know. Yeah.
Okay.
I'm going Frozen. They speak English in Frozen. That's very helpful.
Hey, you know what? But I play The Sims. They speak like this crazy language that, you know, which I find actually amusing.
I love Simlish.
It's hilarious. One time I went way back when I was working at Game Now, before The Sims 2 was launched, the EA had us out to the studio, and they put us in the sound booth and had us try to speak Simlish.
Oh, my gosh.
It is so hard.
So you were reading lines?
No, there are no lines. Okay. The voice actors just come in and, like, play with sounds and,
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, and it's so hard. It is so hard to just not repeat the same sound over and over again. So I have a lot of respect for those voice actors.
Absolutely.
We had to do that in improv class. It would be like...
Speak Simlish?
Well, it would be called gibberish or gibberish, and you'd have to do a whole scene just completely in nonsense. And it was really fun. Yeah, but also really hard. It was not one of my favorites.
Yeah, so...
Yep. So Minions, what other characters did you... Because you played... What Skylander did you pick when you played Skylanders?
Oh, my word.
I'm invested in this.
I should have gone back and looked. I remember.
I believe that it was something about a green dragon.
It was green.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, it was green.
And then
you picked it because you love the color. Yeah.
That's my strategy. Aww. That's as far as my strategy goes. Yeah, I don't remember which one I picked.
All right.
Yeah.
Then
Hey, you know what? I mean, some real gamers do that, too. Like, I'll pick characters.
Did you just call her not a real gamer?
Oh, I don't think she's offended by that.
I don't know. There's not a whole lot of mystery about that. I don't know.
I guess that probably came out well.
welcome to Texas.
My 7-year-olds are bigger gamers than I am.
I don't insult people as being real gamers. If you play a game,
not an insult.
You are a gamer. But anyhow, like
Meredith
people like
Bland,
me,
pro gamer.
There we go.
Like me, like sometimes I'll pick characters based on how they look too. Right. Like it's not.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you know, Keezy does that all the time. I shouldn't single her out. I do that all the time.
Okay, so out of the ones we've had you play, which one was your favorite?
Okay, so there was Smash Brothers, there was Skylanders, and there was... Okay, so I can't do Plants vs. Zombies because the thing with the remote is just too confusing for me. And then Skylanders it's just so hard with the thing.
I know. I hate to tell you. Or you probably saw. I edited your story to take out remote and replace with controller.
Whoops.
It's okay. That's why I'm here.
Showing my ignorance. You could have just put in like parentheses, she means controller.
I should have done that.
Edited for accuracy. I guess it would probably be Smash Brothers just because it was the most straightforward and I could actually, even though I was just kind of mashing buttons around, I kind of felt like I kind of knew what I was doing.
Yeah.
I was kind of able to accomplish things in the game. Unlike the other two.
I was so happy when I was reading that piece when you finally won. I was like, yes, she
I know. It was very exciting.
Do we know what you're going to play next?
No, I just turned in my column last night, and so it's time for a new game. So I was going to ask you guys to recommend a new one for us.
I know. We got to come up. I think I sent – I don't know how many were on the list that I sent you, but I think you played them all.
So what consoles do you have?
We have PS4 and we have the Wii. Not the Wii U, but the Wii.
Okay. Yeah. Oh, man. I wish you had a PS3 because I would recommend Little Big Planet, obviously.
Big Planet.
Well, wait. Isn't the third one on 4?
PS4? Oh, duh. Yeah.
Duh.
Oh, my God.
That's
so
it.
What's
That's
Little Big Planet?
Self-directed, duh. It's a platforming game that is wonderful.
What's a platforming game?
It is a game where you jump from thing to thing.
Like Mario.
So it's going to be hard for you.
Yeah. My kids will be fine.
Yeah.
It's all about them anyway.
But it's all like crafty, so your little character is made of like knit yarn.
The characters are adorable. You will love them.
Yeah, it's precious. And I love those games. The third one I didn't like as much as the second one. I felt it had a lot harder learning curve. So, you know, you're probably thrilled to hear that. But they're still really cute and heartwarming. And they're really funny. They have a lot of humor.
Awesome.
So also, Hugh Laurie is in it. And
I
Stephen
like
Fry.
I like him too.
Okay.
Yay. All right.
Yeah, that's a great suggestion. Yay. Oh no, I have to think of some more. I don't have a PS4, so makes it kind of
That was my husband's 40th birthday present.
Oh,
that's what I got him.
That's very nice.
Nice.
My husband's 40th. We went to go eat at the Herb Farm.
Oh.
Have you been to the Herb Farm?
Oh. I have never been to the Herb Farm.
Oh, my God.
I
it's amazing.
Go to the Herb
Holy
Farm.
Moses.
It's at Willow's Lodge in Woodinville.
I know.
Oh, you know about it.
I want to go.
Unbelievable. Oh, my gosh. It's like they do like one seating, so you have to reserve your table like way in advance. But you know like the menu theme. They have like theme menus.
Oh, man.
And you sit there and eat, and then the chefs come out before each course, and they tell you like the thinking behind all the food and all this.
What?
It's amazing.
We spent our wedding night at the Willows Lodge. We got married at the Columbia Winery next door.
How nice.
But we did not eat there, unfortunately.
That's a crime.
Apparently. My gosh.
We should all go. We should have a company party.
Yeah. It's a long meal, though. You're talking about 4.5 hours.
Good grief.
Have you heard about Nicole and I basically live in almost the same place. But have you seen the wooden – or the Beardsley Public House that just opened up in Bothell?
Possibly.
It's John Howie's new restaurant.
And
it's literally right down the street from me. And it's – we've been, like, smelling it and looking at it, and it's beautiful, and I really want to go, but I'm afraid to look at the prices on the menu because...
Yeah, no, I'm totally going because one of my mom friends, like, we all love John Howie Steakhouse.
She's, yeah.
Like, told me, like, a year ago, like, he's supposed to be opening up a burger joint in Bothell.
Yeah.
And so it just opened, and she sent me a note. She's like, look, it's open. We have to go.
My roommate said there were tons of families there, and, like, they have the
windows
all
open. Well, we were going to go without the family.
Oh, well, okay. Leave the kids behind.
And we wanted to enjoy ourselves. We're going to bring the children.
You'll be there with your mom's group, and I'll just be outside the window peeking in.
If you don't want that fry, I will take it from you.
Yeah, just pass food to me.
Just crack in the window.
Oh, goodness. Okay.
You know, it's very acceptable to go to restaurants as a group and just order, like, some appetizers or something and split them.
This is
That's true. Gotta go. I'll do it.
All right. We've gotten off a big tangent here.
Yeah,
I don't know how we got there. But
food is a great tangent,
but
though.
But you eat while you play games, so they're related.
Sometimes. Simone eats spaghetti while she plays games, apparently. Oh,
and I suffer for it.
How do you manage that?
Poorly and messily.
Gotcha.
We have a red couch, and I have spilled red foods on it more times than I would like to admit.
I just love to eat while I'm playing games. I don't know what it is about it. It's just
the desperation.
Like I don't know. Most console games, even if I'm hungry, I'm not eating because you need both hands to use the controller. But Hearthstone is a great game to play while eating because you only need one hand and there are turns to take. So
I get too stressed out to be hungry when I'm trying to play these games. I'm too busy trying to think about what my left thumb is doing.
I want your kids to like hand feed you while you're playing the games.
That's
the next
talking,
step,
friend.
Yeah.
Now you're talking. Give mommy some popcorn. Thank you.
And then your hands don't get greasy. So
So have your kids asked? Is it for you to play specifically anything else?
Well, they tell me constantly about Minecraft.
Uh-huh.
That's the newest obsession is the Minecraft. They have not asked me to play yet. I think the last go around with Plants vs. Zombies kind of was poor. And so they're kind of like, you don't need to worry about this one, Mom. But it amazes me how much they learn so quickly and how long they can talk about this. These games and the strategies and, I mean, they're 7.5.
Yeah.
It is remarkable. So I have not really gotten it. I mean, I know that there are pigs and sheep and lava. My son built a torture room. So thanks for that. Thank you.
Oh, no.
Hey,
how did he build
a
torture room?
You can create anything you want to in Minecraft.
It's your world. It's your world.
What is
you
a
want
torture,
some torture
room?
Well, what you do is you take someone up to the top tower of your building, and then you shove them out the window, and they fall into the lava. That is not so much torture as murder.
Been watching Game of Thrones
it's,
or something?
Well, you know what? That's like boxing your Sims into a room with no food and no bathroom. And
we all do it.
Yeah. Just a different context there.
I'm just grateful they're not outside at the treehouse doing that. They're doing it harmlessly in a video game.
Very true.
Yeah, we used to have the bullies in the neighborhood doing that for real. You know?
Pushing people into lava pits.
That's right. The lava pits, the mud pits, whatever. If we'd had lava, they would have done it. I just know it.
I know it, too. It must be horrible
to grow up in Hawaii.
Okay. So I think we're good with Meredith's conversation. What we do now is we talk about what we're playing. Oh. However, if you haven't been playing a game, that's fine. You can talk about what you were reading or watching on TV or movies that you've seen that are interesting lately.
Okay.
You want to think about that? We can go around.
Yeah, you go around. I'll think for a moment.
Okay. I'll start then.
Yay.
Believe it or not, I have downloaded an iPad game that I am playing more than Hearthstone. It is.
Oh my gosh, I'm so shocked.
No, I was working on that Might and Magic story for Pixelkin like a week ago. And I'm like, hey, I remember they said something about remastering Heroes of Might and Magic 3. Like, I wonder how long before that comes out. Nope, out.
Yay.
Downloaded, completely sucked back in. Heroes 3 came out in 2001? 2001, 2002.
So it's been a long time.
It has been a long time. It's a wonderful game. It's a turn-based strategy game where you're basically, you know, collecting resources a little bit like Civilization, but not quite.
Man, I was 11 in 2001.
Oh my Lord have mercy.
At least I have somebody on my side this time.
You have three people on your side.
I need to stick up for myself.
Right. But it is an awesome game. I played it a ton back then, and it, you know, I still play it now. Like they say, it's remastered. The graphics haven't been like completely redone. Mm-hmm. It's basically redone to the point where you can tell what's going on, like on an iPad screen, with like a, you know, so much better resolution than a computer monitor.
Good enough.
Yeah, good. It doesn't matter. It's good enough. You know, you don't play it for the graphics anyhow.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh my gosh. Totally into that. That's really what I've been playing.
I'm so glad.
Most. I still go into Hearthstone to finish up my daily quests. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we'll be back when the expansion comes out.
You know, that kind of goes with what I've been playing this week, which is Zumbinis, which is a game that came out in, like, 1996. Yeah. And it just got remastered and re-released for the iPad. And I think it's coming out for PC and Mac later this year. And it is so nostalgic. Like, Courtney and I both played it as kids, and I was playing it in the office yesterday, and we're both, like, saying the lines that the characters say in their voices, and it's wonderful.
That's
but
so cute.
Yeah, we're adorable. But yeah, it's a logic puzzle game. So you basically create all these little Zumbini characters, and you're moving them through logic puzzles where you have to arrange them according to their traits and things like that. So yeah, it's really, really taxing.
Yeah.
Cool. I love it.
All right. Have you thought of anything?
I'm not playing the game right now. So the premiere of Hard Knocks on HBO was on last night. That's a football show. Where they profile a different team each year, and right now it's the Houston Texans. And see, now this is how I feel when you guys talk about the game.
Exactly.
Because you're a bit of a lifestyle.
J.J. Watt is playing, and they're breaking ankles, and it's great. So that's what I'm excited about, is that Hard Knocks is back.
All right, cool.
Who's your favorite team?
Duh, okay. Simone.
Seahawks.
Honestly.
Go Seahawks.
Honestly.
It's worth Simone. A quiz. Sorry.
Honestly.
Maybe it was a test. Maybe I was testing you.
No, it's the Seahawks.
Good. That means you can stay here. We also care a lot about football. Tell me I'm cool, Meredith.
You're fantastic. I like your tights with flowers and skulls on them.
Thank you. We're all skeletons inside, you know.
This is deep. True. Deep and true.
All right, Linda, how about you?
I have been playing Alpha Bear quite a bit, and I finally broke down and read the strategy wiki or whatever.
There's a strategy wiki?
Yeah. I needed it. I needed it a lot because I could not tell what was going on with the bears and how big they were, small or whatever.
So I tell you how joyful it is to watch Linda talk about bears and alpha bears and what the bears are doing. This is great.
It's a really good game. You would like that.
What
every
is it?
Writer,
it's a word game.
It's a word game.
Yes. Every writer I know would love this game. It's really
like
fun. Yeah.
Okay.
You spell words and then your bears grow or not. And then you get points.
Yeah.
And,
okay. And you have bears that you can use as like combos. So you get like extra points for spelling five-letter words or that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then I also played a couple of those clicker games, which are very strange. Cookie Clicker. And then I wrote the story about our friend Eric Jordan's game. Oh, gosh. I can't remember the name of it. Heroes of the Lost Idols.
Definitely.
Oh,
sorry, Eric.
we'll put it in the show notes. Eric Jordan of Victoria, BC.
Yes,
our friend.
We know that part.
These are games that play themselves, and I think the genre was invented by this video game kind of philosopher, designer, theorist named. Ian Bogost?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. And he created something called Cow Clicker.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a way to comment on games and what games are.
It was a Farmville kind of spoof.
Spoof.
Yes.
Right. So, like, how far can you take the idea that games are easy to play? So he made it as easy as he could, and all it was clicking on the cow.
Yep.
And then, but actually, there are games now that are real games that people get really addicted to, where all you do is click the screen, and then when you go away and come back, it's been clicking automatically while you've been gone, and you can level up things and. It's very strange, but and I probably won't play them anymore. But it was interesting to take a look at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I think that about wraps it up for this week. Meredith, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for
us.
Having me. It was really fun talking to you
yeah.
guys.
As always, if you have questions, comments, or feedback, you can send those to hello@pixelkin.org. You can find us on Facebook, Pixelkin. We post lots of good stuff there. And on Twitter, @pixelkin_org and @gamingwithmoms. And I think that's it. Oh, we are on Blog Talk Radio. You can find us there as well. All right. Thanks so much for listening, and we'll be back with you next week.
Bye-bye.
This podcast was recorded in the studios of the Jack Straw Cultural Center in Seattle, Washington.